Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Well, good morning. I'm really happy to be here today. What about you? I absolutely love the rain. I was going to say the sun. I call it liquid sunshine. So whenever I see rain, I rejoice and I know that it's definitely going to be a great day. So great morning to everyone that's here. I thank you for your presence. Your presence truly is a gift to me, and I'm so happy to have you, to be in your midst. My talk title today is called The Three of Me. The Three of Me. And this title was inspired by a song that I heard when I was listening to NPR, and I love Terry Gross. How many of you love her interviews? She's just the best. And a gentleman by the name of William Bell, he died, and they played the interview that she had done before he died. And the song that she played, that they talked about, was a song that he had written and produced and that he sang called The Three of Me. And I thought, wow, what an interesting concept. But the lyrics are this. Last night I had a dream, and there were three of me. There was the man I was, the man I am, and the man I want to be. And the lyrics go on to say, oh, the three of me, the three of me. I've got to figure out who I want to be, because there ain't no room for the three of me. And it sounds like a blues song, but when you go home, YouTube it, it's a great song, because when you think about it, it's really a concept to think about, especially metaphysically, because there's always that person that we were, and we're wrestling with that person and the person that we are and the person that we aspire to be. And I thought, what an awesome song, you know, what an awesome song. And so today, that's what I'm going to talk to you about, these three versions of ourselves that we want to be, but there's no room for the three of us, right? There really isn't, because either we're going to live as the person that we could be in our highest and best, or we're going to play small and be mediocre, but you can't do both. So the first thing I'm going to do is talk to you about those three versions of ourselves. And then the next thing that I'm going to do in every one of those things is I'm going to offer you a call to action. Because for those of you who don't know me, I am a life coach. I'm a sales coach. I train people in sales. I train people in personal development, professional development, and I'm a consultant. And the reason people hire me is because they want transformation. And so I am a catalyst for change, and I'm not going to let you off the hook. So you will have a call to action, which is going to be your homework, and you also will have affirmations that we will do here today to help you move into that place where you would like to be. So no matter who we are and how long we've been studying metaphysics and this philosophy or whatever it is we've been studying, there's always so much more to the world and what we would like to have. So is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You guys got to wake up, because I'm kind of loud and I like to engage you and I like to have you to be attentive and involved in what we're saying. So let's start off by talking about the man I was, or the woman I was. Okay. So the man that I was, would you agree that we have all had defining moments in our lives, things that happened that stand out, that caused us, that shaped us into who we are? It's so good to see you. I'm seeing a face. I'm so sorry. I'm seeing a face that I know from San Diego, and I'm like, where do I know that face from? So bear with me. It's so great to see you. It really is. Thank you for being here. You flew a long way. Are your arms tired? But there are defining moments in our lives that have shaped us into who we've become. And what happened is, as we were growing up, We made choices and we tweaked ourselves based on the experiences that we had. Why? Because we didn't want to experience pain. We didn't want to have disappointment. We didn't want to be judged. We didn't want to be criticized, and we didn't want to be made to feel guilty. Because those are the things that we want to avoid, right? So those defining moments helped to shape who we became. And so that is how we were shaped into who we have been. Our childhood experiences help shape us. And these moments that we had, they determine how we feel about ourselves and how we see life. And those things are really important. How we feel about ourselves and how we see life. And so how many of you remember hearing that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Well, the truth is that sticks and stones would have been a whole lot easier than the words that we heard. Because as children, the things that we saw, the things that we experienced, and the things that we heard, the things that we heard are still with us in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, we aren't even aware that those things are still with us. And so the words that live on in our minds, the conversations we have with ourselves, the conversations that we recall someone having with us, it's the things that people said to us. It's the things that people said about us. It's the things that people said around us that stick with us. And those are the things that we aren't even aware that we're having those thoughts. Would you agree? And so words do hurt, because the power of the spoken word has caused more hurt to so many of us over the years. And so our inner child, at some of my workshops, we do inner child exercises to help people move through. Most of us have an inner child that is lost, that is lonely, that is afraid, that has been rejected. And it's not so much that what somebody did to us, but it's how we interpret what happened, right? So it's how we interpret what happened that is shaping the person that we became. So we grew up avoiding those things. Now, let me tell you how you know who your inner child is, because some people would debate that. But your inner child is that underdeveloped part of you, that part of you that you wouldn't allow yourself to be. You taught yourself not to be that person because you wanted acceptance. So on some level, we've all wanted acceptance from our parents, from our teachers, from our jobs. It doesn't stop when we get older, but it certainly started when we were a child. It's that part of yourself that you criticize, and that part of yourself that you tend to be impatient with, right? When you forget something or you don't remember to do something, that's when you get impatient. And so that's who the inner child is. So your call to action is for you to forgive in love and for you to start with yourself. When we're talking about the man that you were, it's so important for you to forgive in love, but to start with the most important person, and that is yourself. Because if you aren't able to forgive yourself, it really isn't going to be easy for you to move on and to be the greater, grander version of yourself. So let's talk about the man that you are, or the woman that you are. So that is the man that you were. You became who you became because growing up you had these experiences that helped shape who you were. And so in order to protect your inner child, what you did is you became who you became. So now today, here we are. We're in the present moment. And before we go there, I need to share with you this affirmation that I promised you I would share. So if you would, I invite you to join me in saying, you can repeat after me, I live in the present moment, and I easily release all past pain. I live in the present moment. And I easily release all past pain. Now we can move on to the man or the woman that we are, the present, to the present person. It was Socrates that said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And I so love that quote, and I know that people have quoted it so many times, but it's so, so true. And so in the present moment, the way we can move into transformation and to inspire change in our own lives is for us to realize that it's important for us to examine our lives. Now, in the present, I would tell you that there are many benefits to being who we are today, especially as you get older. It's convenient only because we have learned what to do and what not to do in order to have the outcomes that we want, right? But sometimes we're not being truly authentic to ourselves. So we have just learned how to avoid certain things in order to get the results that we want. We're very familiar with ourselves. We're familiar with how to interact with people. We are skilled at knowing what to tell people in order to get the result that we want. And so it's very important for us to be able to show up as our authentic self in the present in order for us to have that kind of experience in the future. So what happens in the present moment is we have these stories that we tell to people, and we share these stories with people because what we're really wanting is for people to know who we are or who we want them to think that we are, even though we are constantly evolving. And in some cases, we don't really know who we are authentically. And so we tell these stories. Like, for instance, I had a client the other day that was sharing a story with me. But as she started talking, sharing her story, it started out as a story of triumph. But it was layered with victimhood and martyrdom all the way through the story. Now, when we got to the end, it was like, ta-da, and look at me now. You know, against all odds, I did this or I did that. But the reality is that I realized that it's those layers and layers and layers of things that she talked about on the way to telling this story of triumph that's trapping her in her situation, because all of those things are the reason that she's working with me. So the stories, they sound good, and they make us feel like we have an S on our chest or a W or whatever letter you want on your chest. But at the end of the day, these stories trap us, because you know what happens with these stories? They shape our beliefs. So you have this story, and it's really good, and it makes you feel some kind of way. But it also is where your beliefs come from. So now, we know from this teaching that it is done unto us as we believe. So it's not done unto us as we speak, like just because you're using your mouth and you're talking a lot, things aren't going to happen to us because we say so, just because we say so. The universe is working with the place where we feel conviction, and that is our beliefs. So we have these stories, and they're so good. I'm going to encourage you to start listening to your stories. Every time you tell one, just listen to yourself telling that story. Listen to yourself telling that story, because there's something in it for you when you tell it. And it keeps you in a place where you might not want to be, and you may not even realize it. You may not even realize it. I've been listening to my own stories, and they're kind of scary when I think about it. It's like, okay, Greta, we need to correct that, because that is not in alignment with what we know to be the truth. So, and we all have that going on. So I would encourage you to definitely take a look at your stories, because they're shaping your beliefs, and your beliefs is what shapes your experiences. That's how you get your outcome, is what you really believe, because all of us are saying we'd like to be a millionaire, but the people who actually are millionaires are people who have fixed that belief, right? It's your belief that makes a difference in everything. So here's your call to action. First of all, I want you to inspect your stories. As you're telling a story, I want you to listen to yourself tell that story, especially the ones you tell all the time. You know, I was telling a story one day, and I'm so good at telling that story that there's a place where I wait for people to have a reaction, right? You're just waiting for it. It's like, okay, that's the part where they're supposed to go, oh my goodness, are you serious? And they didn't say it. So I said it again. I emphasized it, and then they said, are you saying this? And I thought, this person is so uneventful, because they're not reacting to my story the way I was looking for it. But it made me listen to myself, because I repeated the part that is supposed to be like the climax of the story, and she missed it. She's a pretty intelligent person, so that means that's a story I need to stop telling, right? I think so. Well, the next thing after you inspect your stories is to examine your beliefs. Because, see, when you tell the story, the question you want to ask yourself is, okay, I told that story, so what is that telling me that I believe? Do I believe that I get mistreated, but I rise to the occasion anyway? You know, do I feel like people are discriminating me against me or singling me out because they don't like me? I mean, what is really behind that story that's being told? Do I feel like people wrong me all the time? I mean, it's just there's so much to learn from your stories. So inspect your stories and examine your beliefs. So here's an affirmation to support you in that. Please repeat after me. I love and approve of myself. And I easily make changes. I believe I am wonderful. And life is a joy. I love and approve of myself. And I easily make changes. I believe I am wonderful. And life is a joy. All right, so let's talk about the man or the woman that we want to be, because that's where it's time for us to roll up our sleeves. There's going to be some tears. It's going to be almost like a death, you know. You're going to have to put some stuff to rest. You know, the man that you were needs to go to rest, or the woman that you were. And the person that you are, in order for you, because we are polymorphic beings. We're always moving forward, always creating, always, there's just so much. Like, why stop where you are now? Jane Fonda had a really great quote, and I love it. She said, "We are not meant to be perfect. We are meant to be whole." Isn't that a great quote? We are not meant to be perfect. We are meant to be whole. And the reason that quote is so important is because it's when we are looking to change or transform our lives, we don't want to get started because we want it to be perfect first. But it doesn't work that way. First of all, we are already a perfect idea in the mind of God. We've read that. Ernest Holmes said it. A lot of people said it. But what does that really mean? And so we weren't meant to be perfect. We were meant to be whole. And that means that it's okay for us to go through whatever it is we need to go through in order for that to happen. The thing to know is this, that you really can heal your life. You really can. When I studied in San Diego, that is where I know Lisa from, Louise Hay is a big proponent of you healing your life. In fact, she has a best-selling book called You Can Heal Your Life. And at the end of the day, there's really nothing to heal, only a truth to be revealed. That's really the truth of the matter. But we do want to experience healing to the point where we are just evolving and growing and becoming the best versions of ourselves. But we don't have to wait until you do this growth work that I'm giving you. You don't have to wait for anything. You just have to be willing. How many of you are willing? Like, if you could just be willing to be open to a new, grander, greater version of yourself, if you could do that, would you do it? I would. I mean, it's always a good idea to be on board with your own growth, with your own journey, with your own success. And so I would encourage you to get on board with your own healing and be open and receptive to your good. So there's a story that's told. And this story happened in Jerusalem. So one of the parables in the Bible, in the book of John. And I like this story because it's metaphoric. But the story is recorded that in the city of Jerusalem, there was a pool or an infirmary called Bethesda. And that is the place where a lot of people would go when they needed healing. There was the lame and the people who were paralyzed and the people who were blind. They had some kind of dis-ease or illness that they wanted to be different. And this is where people went. And there was a particular man that ended up being written about in the Bible. He was an invalid. And he had been an invalid for 38 years. For 38 years, he had a condition. That's a long time to have a condition. And so he was laying there, and Jesus approached him and asked the question, "Do you want to get well?" It's a simple question. Do you want to get well? But here's what the invalid did, or what he said, that they said that he said. You know, I don't know if he really said it, but I just know that it's, you know how that goes. It is recorded. Let's just go with that. that he said, I have no one to help me. I mean, every time the water stirs in the pool, no one will help me get down there to get my healing. People get in front of me, and I just haven't been able to make it. So that was what he said to Jesus. And Jesus said, get up. That's how I see it. He said, get up, take up your bed and walk. And I love it because all the way through the Bible, when they talk about Jesus, he's so straight, no chaser, right? He doesn't beat around the bush. He's like Paul. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He just cuts to the chase and gets to the point. But he said, get up, pick up your bed and walk. And I thought about it. It's like this story reminds me of the fact that so many people say they want change and they say they want things to be different and they say they want things to be better. But in most cases, people really aren't willing to do what it takes in order for that to happen. You know, I think about people wanting physical healing and mental healing and emotional healing and spiritual healing. And this is what people say, but it's not necessarily what people really do. They're not on board with their own healing, and it's something to think about. You know, no doubt that if any of us were asked the same question by Jesus or anybody, we would give a resounding yes to, do you want to be made whole? Of course I want to be made whole. Of course I want to be well. Of course I want, you know, more money. Of course I want a beautiful, loving relationship. Of course, why not? Why wouldn't I want that? But then later on, when we realize that there's a process, that creative process, there is some work to do. There's a price to pay. And then we do what the invalid did. We just pull the bed back out and we just stay where we are because we are either not sure how to make the change, we're too lazy to make the change, or we just feel like, well, things aren't really that bad, right? They're not really that bad. I mean, my life is good. I'm living a good life here. When the reality is that we all have conditions because we've all been domesticated. You know, we all had family that loved us, but heaven knows they gave us some stuff to work with, right? They were either too positive or too negative, you know? They were too whatever they were. They were silent or they were loud. They were whatever they were. And it's not so much what they were, but how we interpret how they were and what we walk away with. And so it gets in the way of us creating this grander, greater version of ourselves called our life. The thing to remember is that the journey of life is not always going to be easy. It just isn't. There are going to be potholes and speed bumps and mountains and hurdles to get over. There's going to be valleys to go through and detours that we'll end up having to take. But the decision, I would never want the decision to be for you not to walk, for you not to get up, for you not to continue moving forward, onward, Godward. Why not? One of the things I love about this teaching is that it's so practical. It's such a practical teaching. I like that it's user-friendly, that anything that you read in the Science of Mind text or anything that you read that the mystics have written, any of that can be used, like, immediately. Like, you can immediately use those things. And so I get excited knowing that I can use something. I like, even when people give me gifts, I like practical gifts, in case anybody wants to give me a gift. Just remember that. And so your call to action is to get up and walk. It's to pick up your bed. First, get up. You got to get up first before you can pick up that bed. But get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Why not? And so your affirmation is this. I am willing to experience
all the joys of life.
I am safe.
I am willing to experience
all the joys of life.
Life loves me.
I am safe.
Because you are.
So let's recap. Let's talk about what I talked about, because how many of you used to go to church and your parents would say, well, what did you learn in church today? I didn't like that question. Because I was usually there taking a nap. Actually, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and you cannot sleep in a Pentecostal church because they dance, right? And they shout and they scream and they have loud music. And so I didn't get a lot of sleep, but I was kind of resting my mind. So here's the recap. In order for us to become the man or the woman that we want to be, first of all, there are three things. We're going to recall, we're going to release, and we're going to revision, right? Don't you like it when somebody says there's three things and then they don't count them out for you and then you're taking notes and you can't remember what the three are? So you're going to recall. The unexamined life is not worth living. Defining moments based on your deepest hurts from the past have shaped who you are. So it's important for you to get to the causal root. What is the cause of what's going on with me? And that's going to call for you to engage your inner child, to tap into your inner child. Next step is to release. Nothing other people do is because of you. Remember that. That anything that someone did to you was because of their own insecurities, because of their own hurt, because of their own pain. And so let go of the need for the past to be different, because it's not going to be different. That's what trips you up with forgiveness. As I was working my way through forgiving people and situations, I learned that I have got to let go of the need for the past to be different than it was, because it's over. The truth is, it's over. This is 2017. That was 1972. I might as well let it go, right? You might as well, because it's not going to be different. To forgive everybody for everything, it doesn't matter how big, how small, you know, how awful, how whatever, how it sounds, just forgive, but start with yourself. Because forgiveness is, it just frees you. Angela talked about freedom. Forgiveness frees you. And the next thing is a revision. Jane Fonda said, we were not meant to be perfect, we were meant to be whole. I agree with her. I say it's never too late to have a happy childhood. The story you're telling, you made it up anyway, so make up another one. The people you're talking to, they didn't know you when you were that young, so it doesn't even matter. Update your beliefs. Write a new story. Write a new story, for crying out loud. Write a new story. Like, when you're telling your story, if you're going to be the hero at the end of the story, you might as well be the hero through the whole thing, right? It's about you. It's your life. You can do that. You really can. Walk away from limitation and fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. The thing that I would tell you that you would want to be afraid of is not doing something about it. That's the thing, the fear, not the action that you would take. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why not? Having a renewed state of mind, that's the point in the affirmations, is to give you a new thought. This is a new thought teaching, but to give you a new thought so that you can use that new thought and practice that new thought and move into healing. You see, day after day, week after week, year after year, people come to church, they go to spiritual centers, they go to synagogues, they go to mosques, they go to temples, they go down to the river, wherever they go, like it's a pool or an infirmary. That's what people do. That's what we all do. But we go there for healing, and we go there to be reminded of the truth of our being. But so many people leave with the same condition. You know, how long have you had your condition? Most of us have had them for a long time, because it took maybe about 5 to 7 years for our families to kind of put us in a trick bag. And it's going to take us the rest of our lives to get out of it, right? It's like, how did I get here? I encourage you to be willing to give up what you think you know in order to create something new. Because that's what gets in the way. We think we know so much, right? We're like, oh, I know that this is what happened to me. I know that this is what they meant when they did this. I know. So today, just for today, just put down what you think you know, because it'll allow you to create something new. You can choose to know something different. Because the truth is, you cannot create something new from the same old place. It's just not going to happen. With the same old stories, the same old beliefs, nursing the same old wounds. Life truly does give you what you ask of it. The question is, what are you asking? You got to ask the right questions. And one of the questions that I ask myself all the time, and this is good, you might want to write this down, it's really good. I ask my clients, but when I ask myself, I'm like, geez, what a question. The question is, what are you pretending not to know? Isn't that a great question? What are you pretending not to know? Because we do know. Inherently, we know. It'll help you get to the bottom of things. I'm here to tell you that you can change your life. I'm here to tell you that you can heal your life. I am a person that lives my life practicing this teaching every day. And the same can be true for you. Last night, I had a dream, and there were three of me. There was the woman I was, and the woman I am, and the woman I want to be. The three of me. I've got to figure out who I want to be, because there ain't no room for the three of me. I am complete. Let us pray. Just take a moment, center yourself. You might want to close your eyes just to avoid distractions. But let's know this truth together. Take a breath and know this with me, that this is our day of proclamation. It is our day of declaration. This is a day that we choose to acknowledge our higher selves and to acknowledge a higher power. We now recognize spirit, source energy, God, is all there is. There is only one power. And as we remember that we are created in His image and likeness, we accept that God is all of who we are. All the time. What matters most is our willingness to get on board with our own joy, with our own love, with our own peace and happiness and healing and prosperity. And we make that choice today, and we make that choice every day. We are open to change, open to transformation. Our harmony with the divine is our truth. My attitude and my altitude of consciousness is now soaring. Here and now, we claim our good, and we choose to live life as our dynamic self. The story of our lives is yet to be written. I release thoughts and beliefs and memories that no longer serve me, and I choose to leave the past in the past. I choose to forgive everything and to forgive everyone. I inspect my stories. I examine my beliefs because I know the best me is yet to come. Starting now, I choose to get up, to pick up my bed and walk. I release my words into the unfailing law that always returns to me multiplied abundantly. And together we agree and say amen, and so it is.